Amen and amen. If we can go to our PowerPoint slides now, that would be great. As all of you know, that watch El Shaddai live stream from around the world, our whole goal has always been to take Torah to the nations. And I wanted you to know, I just looked, and right now we have 408 cities and 25 nations watching live right now. That is just incredible. One of the things we always like to do is acknowledge our visitors that have not been to El Shaddai. So if you're visiting here, one of our El Shaddai services for the very first time, would you stand? Amen. I mean, it is so great to have all of you here. Some of the few people I've talked to, we have people here from Peru, from Alaska, California, New York. I mean, all over. Is there anyone else that's come a ways? Texas. Arizona. California. Florida. Oklahoma. Hawaii. All right. Woohoo. Well, we welcome all of you. And I just want to also recognize, because how many of you live stream? All right. Let's give all these live streamers locally a big hand. We want you to know, the live streamers, that you really are part of the family. And one of the things that I want to do, I just want to recognize some of the nations that are on right now. We have 23 cities in Canada. We have 6 cities in the United Kingdom. In the United States, 275 cities in the United States. I believe about every single state. We also have 3 cities in the Netherlands, 3 cities in South Africa. We have India, Honduras, Singapore, Sweden, Belize, Israel, yes, Ireland, Puerto Rico, Switzerland, Norway, Ecuador, Aruba, Chile, Cameroon, and Spain. Let's give them all a big hand. Okay, now I want to tell you about the significance of this weekend and one of the reasons why we chose this weekend. In case you didn't know, all around the world, in every synagogue today, they're reading the greatest commandment. Amen. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. How many of you believe that that's what we should be doing? And many of you know the greatest commandment is to hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Now, for those of you that are new, that is known as the Shema. There it is in English. But Shema means more than to hear. It means to hear and obey. How many of you know if you have a child and you tell them to dump the trash about 10 times and they go, I heard you. And when you say, I don't want you to hear me, I want you to what? Do it. Well, this is what the Shema really means. It means to hear and obey. I want you to know, this is the very first prayer that Jews pray in the morning. It's the first prayer that they pray, the last prayer when they go to bed at night. It is the first prayer taught to Jewish children. It's often the final prayer that is on the lips of every Jewish person on their deathbed. It has been uttered by many Jewish martyrs as they gave up their spirits to the Lord. During the Holocaust, while many of the Nazis, many of them claimed to be Christians, a lot of them were singing Christmas carols while they're throwing the Jews into the oven, and they're singing the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God. And so the reason why this weekend also is known as the Shema weekend, several years ago, I had heard about a Christian pastor here in the United States that wanted all the churches on Sunday to read from the Quran to show their solidarity with Islam. And I thought that had to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I said, we need to show our solidarity with Israel by everyone reading from the Torah. And so I thought, what verse was common to both Jews and Christians? And that is the greatest commandment. But I didn't want it to be read just any weekend. I want it to be read on the very same weekend all the Jews are singing it. And so we're doing that again this year for the 70th anniversary. So while those that meet on Shabbat will be singing the melody, tomorrow on Sunday, the churches that participated will be singing the harmony. And together we're going to all, could you imagine how that's going to touch the heart of God, that we would all be one on this particular weekend? How many of you want to touch the heart of God? How many of you know this is not about you, it's about Him? That's who it's all about. As a matter of fact, in Zephaniah 3:9, here's a prophecy, and I heard a statement just the other day, and maybe it was from Rabbi Shapiro. I don't remember, but the comment was, "How many of you like to study prophecy? More important than studying prophecy, we need to do and fulfill the prophecy. Today, you are part of prophecy being fulfilled. This is what is so incredible." Because in Zephaniah 3:9, it says, God will then turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. Some verses say shoulder to shoulder. But the actual translation is that they may all serve Him with one shoulder. And so the time has arrived, I believe, for planting this seed, fulfilling this prophecy, where we have people groups, as you just saw, from like 25 to 30 nations, and all of us are going to be singing the Shema together this morning. And how many of you know the one pure language is Hebrew? Amen. Amen. How many of you saw Rabbi Tuli Wise last weekend on Tisha B'Av? That was absolutely incredible. And we had such a great response from Jewish organizations who were blown away that these non-Jews would want to mourn with them on Tisha B'Av and then comfort them this weekend. This weekend, in every synagogue around the world, not only are they reading the greatest commandment as a part of the Torah, the reading from the prophets is Isaiah 40, commanding the nations to comfort God's people Israel. It comes from Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. And while I say this, normally those of you that are here on Saturday mornings have notes. What I want you to know, my notes for this morning is online. If you have a phone and you go to our website, you can literally follow along with me if you can download the notes to your iPhone. But listen to Isaiah 40. It says, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquities been pardoned. And one of the things that's amazing to me, this is Isaiah 41 and 2 up on the screen, I believe, where the Lord has, punished her, but now she's been pardoned. Well, I want to tell you something. There was this one rabbi, his name is Yosef Shlomo Kahneman, and he lived from 1886 to 1969. And his whole job was saving orphan Jewish children from the Catholic orphanages after the close of World War II. Many of the priests and nuns, because they had baptized the little Jewish children, adamantly denied that there were any Jewish children there, because in their mind, they're all Christians. See, can you imagine the horror of being a parent, having to give up your child so they won't be killed? You get put in the Holocaust concentration camp after the war. Of all things, you want to be reunited with your children, and that this institution is preventing you from seeing your children. That's literally what was going on. And so what he would do, the rabbi would be accompanied by American soldiers and officers. He would revisit these orphanages at bedtime, and he would immediately sing out the Shema Yisrael, and instinctively all the Jewish children would raise their hands and cover their eyes and cry out, Mama, Mama. And so he would know which ones were really Jewish children. But that's incredible. So with that, I want to play this short video. Mm-hmm.
raised his hand to wave goodbye. Saw the pain in mother's eyes, who left her little precious boy all four. In a citadel of ash and stone, that preached a faith unlike his own. Perhaps he just may yet survive this war. In the shadows stood a man in black. My child, he said, you must not look back. Yet one image lingered, the tears on her face, and mother's words from their last embrace. Shema, Shema Yisrael, know that there is but one God above. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Deep within the iron gate, far from the stench of war and hate, he knew not of a world gone insane. You must believe us, he was told, our faith alone can save your soul. Let us heal your wounds and ease your pain. Each right now to forget his past is home. But he was so very young and all alone. While visions of a shtetl, once vivid and clear, began to fade and all but disappear. Shema, Shema Yisrael, know that there is but one God above. When you feel pain, when you rejoice, know our longs to hear your voice. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The winds of war had finally passed. One man took on the sacred task to bring the scattered Jewish children home. He traveled far from place to place, a quest to reignite the faith of those sent into hiding long ago. He entered the fortress gray and cold. Your kind is not among us, he was told. Hashem above, he whispered, please don't let me fail. As he began to sing, Shema Yisrael, Shema, Shema Yisrael.
Hear your voice, Hashem Elokeinu.
let's stand and together let's say Shema. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad Baruch Shem Kevod Mahuto Leolam Vayet. Together, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Praise be the name of his glorious sovereignty forever and ever. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be upon your heart. And you shall teach them thoroughly to your children. And you shall speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be for a reminder between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. When the word entered the world, freedom entered it. Its highest teaching is love and kindness. That is the whole Torah. Go and learn it, honoring one another, doing acts of kindness, and making peace. These are our highest duties. So let us learn in order to teach. It is a tree of life to those who hold fast, and all who cling to it find happiness. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Amen. Let's close with the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's have our shofar blower. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.
Stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God is Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. And then sings my soul, my Savior God, to my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home with joy, shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to
Lord, fire that once burned bright and clear, replaced the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. I want to take your word and shine it all around, but first help me just to live it, Lord. And when I'm doing well, help me to never seek a crown, for my reward is giving glory to you. Oh Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright and clear, replaced the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear. Oh Lord, you're beautiful, your face is all I see, and when your eyes are on this child, your grace abounds to me. Your grace abounds to me. Your grace abounds to me.
Your kindness, it leads me to repentance. Your goodness, it draws me to your side. Your mercy, it calls me to be like you. And your favor is my delight. Your kindness, me to repentance, and your goodness, it draws me to your side, and your mercy, it calls me to be like you. And your favor is my delight, and never just voices. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. And you are good. Sing it out. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever.
Amen. I tell you what I want everyone to do right now. I want you to look up your Heavenly Father. This is Shabbat. How you know every Shabbat, what does the Father want to do? He wants to pray for his kids. Let's look up and wave your hand and say, we love you, Dad. I love you, Dad. Amen. Amen. How many of you love the Father? Amen. We're his chitlins. We're his little kids. And let's just pray. Father, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we are your children. And until we get our new bodies, this one's breaking down, Lord. We want to lift up all of those who are sick or ill, who have plagues, diseases, injuries, people we know, those live streaming from a hospital. Father, right now, we just ask that you would extend your spirit that goes all around the world. We know your eyes go all around the world and you see your children. And we just want to come before you, Dad, and say, heal your children. Heal your people. Father, especially those who are spiritually sick and spiritually ill. Father, we pray right now. We want to lift up all of our loved ones that we know that don't know you. We pray that you would draw them into your presence. Bring people into their paths that could speak life to them, that they would run to you and not from you. Father, we want to pray right now for those that have financial problems, that you would open the windows of heaven and bless your kids with the finances they need, be it for a home. Maybe they're homeless. Maybe they need a car, a job, food on their table. Father, we want to lift up those that we know that need financial help and ask that you would open up the windows of heaven, bring people into their paths that would help meet their needs. Father, we want to lift up all the nations right now. Father, all those that are live streaming, lift up your nation as well. We just want to lift up all of our governmental leaders, military leaders. Father, we just pray, religious leaders, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that each and every one of them would turn to you and look to you. And now this weekend as well, we want to lift up your nation of Israel. Father, we pray that their military leaders, political leaders, religious leaders also would turn to you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we just thank you for it in Yeshua's name. And everybody says, amen. If we have any children, come up. We have a big tallit. We just want to bless the kids real quick, and then they can go back to their chairs. If there's any kids here that want to come up, we do this every Shabbat at El Shaddai. And there may not be a lot of kids at the conference, but if there's any kids here, let's put them underneath. We want to bless them. How many of you know the kids need to be blessed this day? Yeah. So let's extend our hands toward these kids. Father, we just want to thank you so much for every one of these children. They all behold your face. And Father, we just pray that even as they would listen to the messages today, that it would somehow speak to their hearts, that it would be seeds planted at their level, that you would speak to their heart, that the fruit that is planted, the seed that is planted, would grow into much fruit that would abound for your glory in Yeshua's name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Shabbat Shalom. Right before I came up here, we have grown to way over 500 cities and way over 30 nations that are on right now with us. That is, to me, just unbelievable. Well, today is one of these other amazing days. There's a lot going on that I'll be talking about tomorrow as we close out the conference, all the significance of this being Tu B'Av, which I'll mention just briefly this morning. There also was this total lunar eclipse over the whole Middle East. I'll be talking about the significance of that tomorrow. But you know what is amazing to me? It so happens today is the exact day, the exact Torah portion when I first spoke on the blood moons in 2008. It was today on this Torah portion. Now, I don't know if Jill has a little short 1 minute video clip of that ready or not.
In Exodus 35:1, the whole Torah portion is about building the kingdom of God. But wait till you see what I saw. This rocks. I mean, I was knocked off. My jaw hit the floor. And when all of a sudden you start seeing everything start lining up, that tells you there's a pattern here. You have, again, 2014, a total lunar eclipse on the first day of Passover, total lunar eclipse on Sukkot, 2015, total lunar eclipse on Passover, total lunar eclipse on Sukkot. You see a pattern there you didn't see before. Even though they're completely random on our calendar, what you're seeing here, and these are all four of the total lunar eclipses in 2014 and 2015, the years when there's the reoccurrence of that line. But if you'll notice, every single one of them follow a same pattern, and it is the biblical calendar. It's like God takes 1 month and has over 50 years. All of them are in the month of Av. The next 50 years, they're all in the month of Elul. The next 50 years are all in the month of Tishri, which is the fourth month, the fifth month, the sixth month, the seventh month. So the biblical calendar, all these total lunar eclipses are based on the biblical calendar.
There you go. I had a little more hair and it was a little darker back then. But that was from 2008, a long time ago when I had discovered that. But let's bring back our PowerPoints. Here we are today. Yesterday was Tu B'Av. And Tu B'Av is all about love. And it's kind of like, it has nothing to do with Valentine's Day, but it's kind of similar to the, our Valentine's Day. But really, it's all about love. Now, I have two different types of font maybe you can see. But some people that don't know the biblical calendar wonder, what in the world is Tu B'Av? Well, every letter in Hebrew is also a number, and the tet is 9, and the vav is 6, and together you get 15. So what this is saying is this is the 15th day of the month of Av. That was yesterday. And I think it's so amazing since it's all about love. Here there's a total lunar eclipse over the Middle East on Tu B'Av, and I kind of see it as God saying, I'm fulfilling my covenant, I'm keeping my covenant with Israel. In spite of all the forces that are coming against it. Now, just, I want to tell you how Tu B'Av is biblical, because some people may say, oh, that's not in the Bible. Well, yes, it is. Let me give you the concept. It is based on Judges chapter 21, verse 1 through 3. During the Second Temple period, even Tu B'Av served as a matchmaking day for all the unmarried women. It says in Judges 21, 1 through 3, here's the situation. The men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah saying, there shall not any of us give their daughter to Benjamin to wife. There was a big fight between Benjamin and all of the other tribes. And they ended up almost completely wiping out the tribe of Benjamin. And so it says the people came to the house of God and abode there till even before God. They lifted up their voices and they wept and they said, O Lord God of Israel, why has this come to pass in Israel that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? I mean, Benjamin was almost completely wiped out. Well, they had made a vow that anyone who gave their daughter to the tribe of Benjamin would basically, a curse would come upon them and die. So they're trying to figure out, how are we going to restore the tribe of Benjamin? And they say, I know, we won't give them to them. We'll just let them come and take them. And so what do we see happen? In Judges 21, verse 12 through 14, it says, they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had not known man by lying with them. And so they brought them to the camp at Shiloh. This is where the tabernacle was for 369 years. And it says, the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in this rock, Ramon, and to call peaceably to them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives. Now, what happens on Tu B'Av is very similar. Not only is it the 15th of Av, but it's similar to Yom Kippur, because they always go out dressed in white, and they would dance in the vineyards. And here it is, a full moon, you know, romantic under the full moon on Tu B'Av. But that's where Tu B'Av, the whole concept, came from in the Bible. And I think it's interesting that here we have on Tu B'Av, it's like God wants a relationship with his people. And so I think it's wonderful that we have this total lunar eclipse over the Middle East where God is confirming his covenant, which I'll talk more about tomorrow. But let's begin with our Torah portion today. By Et Kanan, and it means I asked for grace, or I begged for mercy, or I pleaded for mercy. And this is Moses. He goes, please let me go into the promised land. You know, he really wants to go. But God says, no. Little did Moses know, we probably was there the very next day after he died. But let's look at Deuteronomy 3, 23 through 25. It says, I begged or pleaded with the Lord, saying, Lord, the Lord, you've begun to show your servant your greatness, your strong hand. What God is there in heaven or earth that can do according to your works and according to your mighty acts? He's really buttering God up is what he's doing. And then he goes, please let me go over and see the good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. Moses is saying, okay, I know I've been judged, fine. I won't lead them, but can I maybe follow? Can I just hang out, you know, with them? And God says, speak to me no more of this matter. And so Moses goes on to say in verse 26 through 27, he tells the people, the Lord was angry with me because of you guys. And he didn't even listen to me. And the Lord said to me, let it suffice you. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of Pisgah. Lift up your eyes westward, northward, southward, and eastward, and see it with your eyes. For you're not going over Jordan. So sometimes we ask the Lord to answer us, but we have to realize sometimes the answer is no. So we come to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. He says, okay, now, Israel, I want you to listen to the statutes, the ordinances, which I'm teaching you to do them, that you may what? Live. Oh my goodness, can you believe it? The Torah was given, all the commandments and statutes, that we might live? How many of you know the Israelis were complaining, you took us out of Egypt to do what? To kill us. And many today say, God, you gave the Torah to us to kill us. That's not what it says. He gave them to us that we could live. And then it says, don't you be adding to the word which I command you, and don't be diminishing from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. You know what is quite interesting to me? In the Jewish world, they believe the greatest thing that they could do is go to work for their dad. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to go to work for dad. To join him in his work. It's not, okay, I want to do this work, Dad, and I want you to come join me in my work. No, we need to find out what his work is. That's what taking the yoke on you. It's not some heavy burden. The Torah is not a tire chain around your neck. It's a necklace around your neck. And so the Jews don't work for the father to become sons or daughters. They work for their dad because they are his sons and daughters. Now, this verse is where John, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, and I always thought this was interesting. He says, I testify to every man that hears the words of this prophecy of this book. Now, how many of you have read the book of Revelation? How many have heard the book of Revelation? It says, blessed is one who hears this. It's almost like it's better to have someone read it to you that gives you freedom to really be thinking about this message rather than just reading the message. But in it, he says, don't let anyone add to this work, or God's going to add the plagues. Don't let anyone take away from the words of this book, or he does have no part in the book of life. Now, many of you are familiar with Genesis chapter 2, 24, where it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall cleave to his wife. In Hebrew, do you know what that word cleave means? It means glued, like more than Velcro. I mean, I have a Velcro dog. Everywhere I go, the dog is like Velcro. He's just sticking to me, you know. But this is even more. Cleave means to stick like glue, adhesion, super glue is what it means. So think about this. Let's go to our Torah portion now in Deuteronomy 4:4. Moses says, but to you that did cleave to the Lord your God. That's how close we need to be to God. We need to cling with him. And it says, all of you that did that, you're alive. Every single one of you today. So today's Torah portion focuses on a very important concept of cleaving to God. It's only by cleaving to God, as the verse says, that we're able to then live. And that's not live in the future world. That's living life to the full in the right here and in the right now. Now, let me ask you this. How can we cleave to God? How can a relationship be held between a finite human being to an infinite God who you can't see? Sometimes we want to know, how do we cleave to God? So I'm going to tell you how to cleave to God. I'm going to tell you how to become super glue. Number one, it's through studying the Torah. It is reading his love letter to you. You need to see Torah as a love letter. I don't know how many of you remember when you were young and you got a letter from someone you really loved. How many times did you read the letter? I mean, over and over. And you didn't read it because I got to read it or I won't have a relationship with this person. No, you read it because you wanted to find out everything you possibly could about how it is going. Number two, it's through talking to him. It's through spending time with him. The simple meaning of prayer is that we're having a conversation with God. We're intimately from the depths of our heart. A prayer can be very private and intimate, drawing us closer to God. It allows us to cleave to him more. You know what? I had read recently once that God, you know why God created human beings? Because he loves to tell stories. He loves to tell stories. The whole Torah is about God telling us stories. It's like, look what I did. I created this world, and guess what? I did it just for you. This is not part of my notes, but it's something that has always spoken to me. Remember when God spoke the earth into creation, Genesis 1? Was the Garden of Eden part of that creation when he spoke everything into creation? No, it wasn't. It goes on to say that after he'd spoken everything into creation, it says, and then the Lord God planted the garden. He wanted to get personally involved, just like the parents would get the nursery ready before the kid. You got to have the nursery ready before the kid comes. You don't wait for the kid to be born and then say, oh, I guess we got to have a place for him to stay, you know. And so God wanted to intimately get involved. This is why, and I believe that was so interesting, when Yeshua rose from the dead, Miriam came and she supposed he was the gardener. He was the gardener. He is the gardener. God wants to tell you stories and pour out his heart, but you know what? He wants you to tell him your story. God wants you to pour out your heart to him, to tell him your story. Abraham was a friend of God, and when people tell each other stories, that's when they become friends. So prayer is just talking to God, telling him your story, and listening to his story. And then number three, the third thing. So it's not just studying the Torah. It's not just praying and spending time talking to him. Don't just study about him, but actually join him in the work. Analyzing a recipe or eating the cake are two different things. Do you eat the recipe or do you eat the cake? You have to study the recipe, but you want to eat the cake. Don't just analyze how God walks and talks, but walk with him and talk with him. This third level of connection in some ways is the most powerful. It's that of the mitzvot. And the word mitzvah is usually translated as command, but it also means connection. carrying out a mitzvah means that that is how we are connecting to and bonding to God. If you want to bond with God, then you do what he asks you to do. How many of you have heard of the Our Father? Your will be done on earth. And God says, okay, I need you to do it then. You're the one on earth. And you're not here to do your will. You're here to do what? My will. What is my will? Take care of the widows, the orphans, the strangers. Love them. So as we're doing the commandments, we're yoking up with the Messiah and we're working with Dad. How many of you have been on a bicycle built for two? You see the father on the front and the child is on the back of the bicycle built for two. Who does all the work? So we're to yoke up with God, but realize he's the one that's carrying the load. We're just along for the ride. So through doing his commandments, we're joined to God and bring his will into the world. And Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8, it goes on to say, behold, I've taught you statutes and ordinances, even as the Lord my God commanded me. So realize it's not the Mosaic covenant. It's God's covenant. Moses was just the writer. And he says, this you are to do in the midst of the land where you're going to possess it. And then he says, keep therefore and do them. And then it says this, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of all the nations. And they're going to hear of these statutes and say, legalism. No, that's not what it says. They're going to hear these statutes and they're going to say, surely this is a great nation, a wise and understanding people. And what's the difference between keep and do? Do you know I can keep all the commandments without doing all the commandments? If someone tells you to keep their dog while they're on vacation, you're not doing their dog, you're keeping their dog. Okay? I can keep, in Hebrew, means to guard them, to protect them. And that's what they want you to do with their dog. Guard it, protect it while we're gone. Okay, but I can't do the commandments for women. I can't do the commandments for judges. I can't do the commandments for farmers. But I can keep and protect and guard all of them. And then it says these nations are going to hear of this and say, wow, these guys are pretty wise and understanding. Maybe we should take on some of these commandments. And then it says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to them as the Lord our God is? Whenever we call on him, what great nation is there that has these statutes and ordinances that are so righteous as all of this Torah, which I set before you this day? And then he goes on to say this in verse 9. Just take heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget. The whole book of Deuteronomy is about don't forget, please remember. And what is the main thing here? He says, don't forget those things that your eyes have seen. There's a horrible English translation here. You know when it says, don't forget those things which your eyes have seen, what do you immediately think of? Things that they have seen. But guess what the Hebrew word here is? It's devarim, which means don't forget those words which your eyes saw. Now, wait a minute. We hear words. We don't see words. But the text specifically says here, don't forget the words that you have seen, lest when they depart from your heart all the days of your life, but teach them to your sons and your sons' sons. Okay, so guess what? At Mount Sinai, when God spoke, remember the thunder and the lightning and the earthquake and everyone is trembling? There was a visual depiction of the words that were spoken by God. As a matter of fact, when you think of a blacksmith and you think of all the sparks and the flames. Well, what does God say in Jeremiah 23, 29? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord? It's like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. So when the Torah is telling us to remember those words that we have seen, basically too, it's telling us that we must transmit to our children and our grandchildren specific words, not just general things. When we see a landscape, we instantly grasp the entire picture. No translation is needed. Well, when directing the children of Israel to convey words to their children and grandchildren, God was teaching us how to do it effectively. Words must be so alive that they can be actually seen just as they originally were when God presented them. Using words and imagery which captivate the listener and help them visualize what we are saying, as we know, seeing a picture is better than just hearing words. And this is why I like to use a lot of PowerPoints, because you not only can hear, you can see, and it's going to help you remember what you've seen. In Deuteronomy 4, 28 through 31, it goes on to say, "And from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him. But when are you going to find him? Only if you search after him with all your heart, with all your soul." How many of you played hide and seek when you were little? How many of you were hiding and realized no one was looking for you? I guess this game's over. I might as well go home. You know, you can hide so well, everybody gives up and leaves. Well, God loves to play hide and seek, but he only wants to reveal himself to those who don't quit looking. That's what this is all about. Amen. This reminds me, I love telling stories too. I just love telling stories, and especially true stories that I've experienced. How many of you have been on an airplane and when it landed, everybody jumps up to get off the plane? And you're in the back of the plane and you want to get out of there. I will never, ever forget. Everybody stands up, the plane has landed, and what is the first thing everybody does? Turn on their cell phones. Okay, let's get the cell phone on. And everybody's calling. Well, this one lady is behind me, and I hear her get on her cell phone. She had been gone for several days, and she had a lady taking care of her kids while she was gone during the school week. And here I hear her talking, and she goes, "What? The kids aren't home? You don't know where they're at? They're not, they didn't come back from school? And you don't know how to get a hold of them? And it's like her kids are missing." She is in the back of the plane, and there's all these people in front of her. Do you know there was nothing stopping her getting to the front of that plane? She was climbing over seats. I mean, there was nothing that could get in her way to find out what the situation is, to get home and to be with, find her kids. That's how God wants us to look for him. Do we look for him? "Well, if you come across my way, I'll find you." Or are we pursuing him, saying, "No, you're not getting away from me"? That is what our attitude has to be. Preach it, sister. And then look at what it says. It says, "Then when you're in tribulation, when all these things come upon you in the latter days," where are we now? "You will return to the Lord your God. You'll obey his voice." And then it says, "For the Lord your God is a merciful God." He's not going to leave you. He's not going to destroy you. He's not going to forget the covenant with your fathers that he swore to them. Do you know, right here is a verse in the Torah talking about the days we're in, saying God is not going to leave Israel or destroy Israel. I mean, that is huge. And this next verse is one of my favorite verses. I have a lot of favorite verses. But to me, this shows the heart of God. And here, this weekend is Tuba Av. It's all about God's heart being revealed to us. And he says, "Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." Wow. When I read this, where he says, "Man, I just wish my kids would keep my commandments forever," I can't help but think of the New Testament in 1 John 2, 3 through 6. It says, "Hereby we know that we know God if we keep his commandments." That says, I know him. He says, those who says, "I know him, but I'm not keeping the commandments," is a liar and the truth isn't in him. "But whoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." And this is how we know that we're in him. "He that says he abides in him ought himself to also walk even as he walked." I think Yeshua kept Torah. Okay, 1 John. chapter 3, verse 24, New Testament. He that keeps the commandments dwells in him, and he in him, and hereby we know he abides in us in the, by the Spirit which he gave us. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. By this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And guess what? His commandments aren't grievous. I mean, who is it that gets upset at the laws or the ones that want to break the laws? Look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Here it comes, the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Now I want to point out something about the Shema. Let me bring this up here. You'll notice here it is in Hebrew. And I want you to notice this letter is made real big on the word Shema. And then the word akkad, that dalet, is made real big as well. That's how it's written in every Torah scroll. But let's take a look here. Here I just have the phrase Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And you'll notice the ayin is made bigger and the dalet. And in English, this is the part that says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Now, there's a couple of fascinating things about this. Those two letters, if you were to put them together, you get the word ed, which basically means a witness. A witness. But I also want you to notice this. The letter ayin in Hebrew is silent, just like the letter aleph in Hebrew is silent. Remember, not one jot or tittle from the law was to be changed? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, because that changes the numerical value of the word, which has a great significance. But if you look at the last letter, the dalet, look how close it is to the letter resh. Just a slight change, a simple little curve. And someone might say, well, what's the difference? What difference does it make between having an aleph and an ayin? They're both silent. You don't hear either one. What's the difference between a dalet and a resh? Because they're so similar. Well, the difference is this. By putting the aleph there, you're saying, perhaps the Lord our God is one God. And with the resh, you're saying, well, perhaps, you know, Israel, the Lord our God, is maybe another God. And so it's so important that we realize not one jot or tittle can be changed. Now, in Deuteronomy 6, it goes on to say in 6 through 9, concerning the greatest commandment, it says, These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart. And then it says, And you shall teach them diligently to your children. That word diligently there implies that you have to chew them and consume them first before you can teach them to your kids. So it can't be, you know, do as I say, not as I do. No, the greatest commandment, you have to have taken that internally before you can teach it to your children. And it says you're to speak of them when you're sitting in your house, when you're walking on the road, when you lie down, when you rise, bind them on the sign of, as a sign on your hand. There'll be a symbol between your eyes. And then it says to write them on the doorpost of your house. Do you know what the Hebrew word for doorpost is? Mezuzah. That's why they have a mezuzah on the Jewish doorpost, because they're to put it on their doorpost. So when they put the mezuzah on the doorpost, guess what's inside the mezuzah? The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God. Why would you not want a mezuzah on your house? Some people don't do it because they don't want to be like them Jews. My goodness, do you love the Lord your God or not? So that's what it is really is all about. But you know what's interesting? You have to put it on the doorpost of your house. How many of you know Jerusalem is the city of God where his throne is going to be? How many of you know that the temple is God's house? Okay? And you have to put it not only on the doorpost of your house, you have to put it on the gates as well. Well, guess what? Yeshua is the word of God. I believe the cross at the gates of Jerusalem was similar to the mezuzah, and he is the written scroll that was bound on the mezuzah when he was sacrificed. And then look at this. Yeah, you can, I mean, that's, I thought it was pretty good. Okay. The goes on to say in Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25, the Lord commanded us through all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good. He didn't give us the statutes and ordinances to kill us, but they're for our good, that he might preserve us alive. And there'll be righteousness to us if we observe to do all the commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. And then look at this next verse, Deuteronomy 7, 9. It says, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God. He keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. Okay, now think about that. There's two thoughts. Why would he show mercy to those who keep his commandments? If you keep his commandments, you don't need the mercy. That's telling you that it's not a matter of legalism and I have to keep all these commandments or I won't go to heaven. No. God is saying the mercy is shown to those who are trying to keep the commandments. How many of you, if you go, let's say you're an arsonist and you appear before the judge and the judge says, I will let you go this time, but just give me the book of matches that are in your pocket. Oh, no, no, I want to keep my matches, and I'm so glad you're letting me go. I have a few more houses to burn down. So God wants to show mercy to those that are keeping his commandments. There isn't going to be mercy for those who want nothing to do with his commandments. But look at this. This is what is more unbelievable. Adam was about 6,000 years ago, right? I think most of you realize that. 2,000 years to the Messiah, 2,000 years to Abraham, another 2,000 years to Adam. 6,000 years. All right, well now, wait a minute. The Bible just says people that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. If a generation is 60 years, that's 60,000 years. So how can we say they're all done away with if he just got done saying it's good for 60,000 years and we've only gone 6,000? Not even 6,000, since Moses has only been about 3,500. We got another 57,000 years to go. And so I want to take a minute now and look at the Haftorah, which means, for those that don't know, the portion of the prophets that tie into the Torah portion. And to me, this is one of my favorite chapters. It is. It's Isaiah 40. This is being read in every Jewish synagogue around the world. Listen to this. This is after the dire straits, the 3 weeks that Israel has gone through. The temple was destroyed twice on the same day last weekend, Tisha B'Av. And now God turns to the nations and say, okay, now I want you to comfort my people. He says, comfort you, my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out to her. Let her know her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she's received with the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And that's what we're to do this weekend. But listen to verse 3 and 4. You're going to be very familiar with this. This is what John the Baptist was saying in the wilderness. The voice of him that's crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And my voice to you today is, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The time is now. Listen to verse 5. He says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. But do you know that's a wrong translation? It's not, and all flesh shall see it. The better translation is, the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see him. It's him. Now think about that. Here's the Jewish Publication Society's translation of this very verse on the JPS. The presence of the Lord will appear, and all flesh as one shall behold. For the Lord himself has spoken. With that in mind, you got to remember every Jew in Yeshua's day knew Isaiah 40. Yes, and what does John 1:29 say? Here, they know Isaiah 40, the presence of the Lord will appear, and all flesh as one will behold him. And John says the next day, behold the Lamb of God. in verse 14 of John 1. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. And it says, behold, the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed. And so right then, when we have to understand the depth of what John was saying when that happened. And if you remember, I believe that that happened on the first day of Elul. And then, which is begins the days of repentance. And then 40 days later, he comes down on Yom Kippur. But let's look at the Brit Hadashah portion as we begin to wrap things up. Or the New Testament. In Luke chapter 3, verse 4 and 6, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way the Lord, make his path straight. It goes on to say that all flesh will see the salvation of God. What's the Hebrew word for salvation? Hello. But now listen to this. We all know the verse, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But when you read Isaiah 40, which is quoting, when you look at verse 6 through 9, the voice says, cry. And he said, okay, what am I supposed to cry? And this is what they were supposed to cry out, that all flesh is grass. All the goodliness is as a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades away because the Spirit of the Lord is blowing on it. Surely people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But guess what? The Word of God will stand forever. And then it says that brings the gospel or the good tidings, the Besorah, to get up to the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that brings good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Don't be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, and there's Yeshua standing there, and there's John. And the next line is, say to them, behold your God. And what does John say? Behold the Lamb of God. Well, this is where 1 Peter 1, 23 through 25, it's from Isaiah here where he gets this verse. It talks about people being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever, for all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Do you see how he's quoting Isaiah 40? Well, guess what the very next verse says? And this is the word, how you're supposed to preach the gospel. This is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. It's this word, that the word of God is forever. Now here's what's, how many of you like GMO food? Anybody like genetically modified food? Is it good for you? Well, guess what? We all know the Word of God is likened to food, and man has been genetically modifying it for the last 2,000 years. This is what's happened to our Word of God. It's been genetically modified by men. And it's not, that Word is not good for you. Don't add or subtract from it. Don't edit it. How many believe you're qualified to edit God's Word? How many people believe, oh, we'll not only edit this verse, we'll edit this whole chapter. We'll edit this whole book. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 through 8, which I'll also quote tomorrow from another perspective. But I want to begin with this. For everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. For how many things? Everything. A time to be born, to die, to plant, to pluck up. And the big problem with much of the church is they're planting at plucking time and plucking at planting time. We don't know the calendar. We need to understand what time it is. Simeon and Anna in the New Testament, they knew what time it was. It says there is, for everything, there is a purpose. In Romans 9:17, the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose, I cause you to be raised up. Psalm 89, verse 35 through 37. Listen to this. This is one of my favorite verses as well. And I'm going to be quoting it tomorrow afternoon from another perspective. Listen to this. How many of you know if God swears, if he raises up his hand, he's going to do it? listen to this. Now think about this. Think about this. Here, I was telling you how Tu B'Av is about love. This weekend, the greatest commandment to love the Lord and how the Lord loves you is what is being read. Here we have this blood red moon up in the sky, right? Now, tomorrow night, I'll explain Genesis 1:14, where God says he created the sun and the moon for signs. But listen to Psalm 89, 35 through verse 37. God says, once have I sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne will be as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, as my faithful witnesses in heaven. Wow. To me, this is incredible. So I think it went about 5 minutes over. But Nadia, if you're going to play some music, why don't you come on up? For those of you that have been around with El Shaddai for a while are aware of this. Those of you that have not, I just want you to know, in the 18 years I've had El Shaddai Ministries, during our services, I have never passed a basket. And some of these churches take an offering 3 times in one service. We haven't done that in 18 years. We typically have taken offerings when we've had a guest speaker or something like that. But what I want to do this morning is I do want to take an offering. If the offering ushers can be ready. And how many of you know this was free? But how many of you know everything that is free costs somebody something? Okay. I'll just be honest with you. This conference is costing El Shaddai Ministries close to $100,000 to put on. But we did it as a step of faith because our concern, it's not about us, it's about you. And we just love you guys. And so if anybody that wants to make out a check, make it out to El Shaddai Ministries. And there is a app called PushPay. If you want to put up the PowerPoint. I don't see my PowerPoint. There it is. On your PowerPoint, if you text, this is for those live streaming as well. Okay? We do have our way to pay directly on our website. But for those that have iPhones, if you text ESM to 77977, it looks like that. You can see up at the top, the 779-77. At the bottom, you put ESM, and then you simply follow the prompts, and it will tell you, push this link, and you can pay that way. If anyone that can help, that's live streaming or that's here now with the offerings, that would really help us to maybe do this again. So I'm just going to pray over the offering. Nadia's going to play some beautiful music. And while she's doing that, if you would help us make this ministry a success so we can take the gospel to all the nations. Our Father, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you so much that we're not just hearers of the word only, we're doers of the word. Father, we want to sow into your kingdom. It's not our kingdom, it's your kingdom. You are the one who wants the Torah to go to all the nations. And I'm so thrilled at the over 500 cities and over 30 nations that are live streaming this. Father, we want to go there. I know Rabbi Shapira has gone all over the world taking the Torah to the nations. And I have as well. And we just thank you that you're supporting his work and our work. Father, we're doing this for you. You're our dad. And as our dad, we want to join you in your work. And we just thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Now, you can just stay seated while they pass the baskets. And just think about the Lord. And if nothing else, pray for your neighbor. Pray for someone you know. And then at the end, we'll have everybody stand and we'll say the priestly blessing. (Clears throat) And if you would put my PowerPoint up while this is going on, I just want to again remind everybody we're going to have lunch now, and there are many, many, many restaurants within walking distance that you can go to. Of course, you can always have Pizza Hut deliver, but there's or do Uber or whatever. But there's all kinds of places. Or if you brought your own lunch, that's great as well. But I want you to know to be back here at least by 1:15. We're going to be starting at 1:30 sharp with Rabbi Shapira, and then at 3:30, and we'll have Sam Daniels. And of course, Sam, if you need to go on till 4:45 or 5, that's fine. You can have an hour and a half. I want you to know we want to hear from Haytham Bezmar. You can go 3:30 to 5 or whatever. You guys are not going to want to leave your seats while Haytham Bezmar speaks. That's why I said we're not limited to just the end. But let's stand as I want to close with the priestly blessing. Amen and amen. To me, this is just the greatest thing that your father... Go ahead, put up the last PowerPoint. This blessing is so incredible. How many of you want to be blessed by your father? I mean, that's what every Arab Shabbat, Dad, you know, I can't help but think of poor Esau. Bless me, bless me. You know, each one of us, we want God. Not only does he say he'll bless you, he will place his name on you. The devil wants to treat you like a number, put a number on you. God says, no, no, no. My kids aren't numbers. My kids have names. He even names all the stupid stars. So you know if he names the stars, you're far more important than any star. And he knows your name, but get more importantly than that, he wants to put his name on you. So this is what he told Aaron to say. Ivarekaka Adonai Vaish Maraka Yaer Adonai Panav Ilacha Vihuneka Yisa Adonai Panav Ilacha Viasem Laka Shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, and that most wonderful name, Eyeh Asher Eyeh. Amen. Go in peace. We will see you back soon. Bless someone on your way out. Thank you very much.